This is Will's Band of the Week for December 31st, 2023. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hello, and Happy New Year.
Yes, and Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having good holidays, whatever holidays you enjoy. I hope it's been good.
And it's sometimes hard to catch Jeremiah actually at the Santa Fe Bureau, since he's really the International Bureau, you know? You never know where Jeremiah's going to be.
I'm home right now, home for Christmas.
Yeah?
Yes. Good.
All right. And
for a few days.
We had a little... We got going a little slow this evening. It's evening my time. It's afternoon Nicholas's time. It's, I guess, early evening your time, Jeremiah, right? And I miscalculated the time difference between here and Melbourne, so... We had to draft Nicholas 2 hours earlier than expected. He was probably breaking all the traffic laws, trying to make it.
I was having a leisurely picnic with the family, like in a park around the corner. I'm like, oh, this is nice and relaxed. I'll just glance at my phone. And there's you guys saying, okay, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. I'm like, what?
Hang on. Okay, so we basically ruined Nicholas's time with his family. Right. So that's
spoiled family. I'll hang out with him later, so it's fine.
All right, yeah, you'll get done sooner this way. Maybe there's a trade off, so it's not all bad, right?
Not all bad.
All right, this is the next in a series.
Picnic. Sounds good.
This is so exciting because we have yet another in the series of end of year specials, and you guys are aware. Even though this podcast will obviously be very, very hard to meet the standard, right? But we have a fun one kind of accumulating itself, I think, with all the listener lists that we've gotten. And I just want to thank all the listeners. We've gotten more top 10 lists from listeners than ever before. And it's super exciting. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to sort of, what's the word? Collate, calculate, put those lists together and try to maybe feature some of the cool stuff that our listeners recommended. And it's fun because we have a couple of, there's two or three that are like really popular among the listeners that haven't made any lists of ours so far. And then there are some really fun, more obscure things. So it'd be fun to feature those. So anyway, thank you, everybody. You still have probably... I don't know. As you're listening to this, you might have a few days to still submit something before we do the recording for that one. Send them to willsband.net.
And it's just great to hear from listeners because sometimes it's like, you know, Will, you and us who are kind of part of your merry gang, it's sort of like, well, we kind of just do this just to sort of entertain ourselves, really. But
right.
Then you get an email and it's like, oh, there's actually people out there who listen and seemingly enjoy the show. So
I know.
That's why it's kind of really delightful to hear from anyone, really, isn't it, in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel
about
it.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah, and learning about new stuff, too. I mean, even under the – I haven't listened to any of the top 10 of the correspondents just because I didn't want to be – too swayed either. So I was like, that should be on my list. but with the listeners, it was so cool just to like see their lists. I mean, the Tubbs, I didn't know who they were before. Like, I think two or three of them had the Tubbs on there.
Yep.
And then what, Floodlights as well, which I didn't listen to, which I should have because I think it was on the pod, but somehow I didn't listen to that. So thank you. Yes. Jorge and Greg and whoever else, I'm trying to remember. all the names, but
yeah,
well, yes, it was. Thank you so much.
We will get them all the credit that they are due. I said send it to willsband.net, which of course doesn't make sense because you can't send it to the website. Maybe you could somehow with a comment or something, but send it to my email, the podcast email, willsband@yahoo.com. So if there are any more out there who are on the verge, you know, you're thinking, should I send it? Should I do it? Oh, should I do it? Yeah, do it. Very cool. Definitely. All right. You guys did not disappoint. Your lists are both really fun. It's going to be great. Did you want to make any comments before we get into the lists themselves?
I did. In my research, I realized that this is actually my 10th top 10 with you, Will, which seems like, what the heck?
That is awesome.
So my first one was 2014.
That is great.
This will be
great.
My 10th one that I've delivered.
All right. And you do deliver, Nicholas.
Nice. That's so cool.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I know I have a reputation. I've got a reputation on the internet. Finally, I've been trying to get a reputation. And my reputation, according to one of our lovely listeners, is that I serve up shonky top tens.
Right.
And the great thing is that I think that they are absolute. That's a really accurate word. I love that. So I'm be proud to present another shonky top 10. I know all the other correspondents are more sort of, you know, reliable and sort of, you know, on point with, you know, new indie rock releases, and I just sort of serve up some sort of dog's breakfast and people somehow accept it, you know.
Yep. Oh, I love it. It's great.
I didn't even know what shunky was before that.
No, I had to look it up.
Okay, here we go.
Dubious
integrity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Unreliable.
You know what? But that's
dubious integrity.
It's like being roasted.
Looking for the Urban Dictionary one. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say it's like being roasted. You know, it's a sign of affection when people give you a funny, lighthearted insult. You know,
well,
it's a sign of affection.
The real compliment there is that they're obviously listening. They're paying attention. It's like, wow.
Right, yeah.
Someone's actually listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, he wouldn't.
Something's gone wrong.
He wouldn't know it was shonky if he wasn't listening.
Yeah. In the Urban Dictionary, the example is, that work he did was so shonky, I can't believe he actually put his name on it.
Yeah, again, completely accurate. That's pretty much it.
Nicholas is not afraid to put his name on it.
Oh, it's a compound word from shocking and wonky.
Wow.
Okay, here we go.
Shocking and wonky. Okay. But yes. You know what? Okay, I think if we go to the meat of this, and then because you don't want to give your near misses or your picks that didn't quite make the top 10. You don't want to give those up right now because you want to have the surprise element. So let's start rocking.
Okay, yeah, maybe we should do that at the end.
Yeah, let's start rocking. Nicholas, you want to start it off?
Let's do it.
What's number 10?
Sure. Well, so I just want to quickly say that my top five in my usual shonky fashion is actually my top 10 is divided up into two halves, really. So the first five that I'm going to present now, it's kind of more my favorite people, favorite artists, there's a bit of a favorite live show, and also a reference to a favorite podcast. So it's not exactly my top 10 releases from the year, but that's, you know, it's always a bit of a journey. You know, my top 10 is always a bit of a, this is going to be my musical year for this year. So I guess the first one I want to start with is probably the oldest release that we're going to listen to today. And I know that you're probably used to things not even being released this year. But I guess it's, you know, I don't know if you've ever have like artists who have been on your list of like, I'm never gonna like that band, I hate that band, I don't know why everyone likes this band, I'm never gonna like them. This year has been the year that I've flipped. I've gone from never wanting to listen to this band to like, I love this band. I've gone from hate to love with this band. So I've been diving into their, you know, their mega hits, but also, you know, some of the deep cuts. And I want to play a song for you that you – I want to even just play it and you can listen to it. Maybe, Jeremiah, you can see if you can even guess who this is. I'm going to tell you. It's from 1981, okay? Was actually this band sort of – all it was, you know, up until recently it was their final album. They did this in 1981. And when I was listening to this, I was like, wow, this doesn't sound like 1981. Well, not to my ears. Anyway, this is a bit of a deep cut from this band. I'll tell you who the band is after we hear it. Can you please roll the tape, Will?
Okay, here's the tape. This is Nicholas's number 10. Nicholas is number 10. He's now going to reveal the artist.
I'm stumped.
It's ABBA.
There you go.
No. Wow. Okay. I was like, yeah, what, where was that? I was like, who hasn't released an album that long? The Stones just released
it. It kind of doesn't sound like their classic hits, and it almost sounds like they could have moved in a sort of an alt-rock direction, right?
Yeah. So this is the title track and opening track of their 1981 album called The Visitors. And I was like, what the hell is this album? And they broke up soon after this. And so it was their last album. As lots of people know, they kind of reformed and did a new album, you know, a couple of years ago. But before that, this was their last thing, and really kind of cool and synthy and dancey poppy. And great. But anyway, this year, I just want to share with the listeners that 2024 was the year that I finally fell in love with ABBA. Like it or lump it, there you go. But that's a cool album, almost their last album, The Visitors from 1981.
All right. Very cool. Fun
nice.
Stuff.
I'll have to check that out. I like that.
Yep. Yeah. Jeremiah, the number...
I was thinking you were going to say... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Jeremiah, what's the number 10 album of 2023?
This is a newcomer for me. It's a band called Say She She. And they're kind of one of them's from London, one of them's from Brooklyn. I think one of them used to be in Chicano Batman, but it's kind of a mixture I don't know. It's almost kind of, some is kind of like spacey rock stuff. Some R&B kind of disco mix. I just kind of discovered it a couple months ago, and it's been fun just to kind of like have on the back burner running whenever you're hiking or driving or whatever. So Say She She, the album is called Silver, and I picked track 9, Forget Me Not.
Thank you.
say she she. So we had say sue me before. Now we have say she.
Right. Yeah. I know when you're trying to Google it, it's, it comes up like that. But yeah, it's fun. They just, and they also like recorded it just kind of straight to tape, like recorded it live to tape. And so it has a little bit of a soft kind of feeling. And they also have another, two of them are in another band called, I think, what is it, 79.5? And it's interesting. I don't, it must refer to some radio station or something, but it's, again, it's a, that one's a little more R&B, but yeah, it's fun just to kind of mix it in. I like kind of some disco and R&B and dance music too. So yeah, it was a good one for me at least.
Whenever I hear that a band recorded something live to tape, I'm like, oh my God, could I ever not do that? You know, it'd be, even for myself, I would, my own parts, I would make too many mistakes, to, you know. But then if you have the whole band, the capacity for mistakes is so great that, yeah. So I really admire somebody who can do that. I think you hear about that with some old recordings, like old Beatles songs, and you're like, really? They could just play straight through live and it sounded that good. I mean, that's, it's pretty amazing. All right. Say She is very cool and a fun one. Love hearing the picks that I've never heard before. So, okay, let's go to Nicholas's number 9.
Cool. So this is going to be my gig of the year. So I've seen this guy, I think about 6 times in my life since about 1988 was the first time I saw Steve Vai playing when he toured with David Lee Roth in 1988, and I've seen him mainly solo since then. So I guess he's kind of one of my musical heroes, I suppose. I almost didn't go to this gig, but I don't know if you ever, sometimes a concert comes up and you're like, oh, am I going to go to that? Will I not go to that? I went with my friend Matt. Steve Vai walks out, goosebumps all up my arms. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that I went, that I came here. So it was great. Great to see Steve Vai and his band on stage in Melbourne. This is a couple of months ago. So it was great. So kudos to Steve Vai, who's now 62. He's 62 years old and still, you know, shredding like he always has. You know, has never lost really any of his playing ability, and it's kind of amazing, really. So it was lots of fun, and I had a great time. So I've made my number 9. Actually, he played this song, and I was like, oh, I love this song. So isn't it great when you see one of your favorite artists and they play, you know, one of your favorite songs? So he played this. It's got a terrible title to this song, but we'll play it anyway. It's called Giant Balls of Gold.
That's Steve Vai. I got that from the Essential Steve Vai. So we're going to call that Nicholas's number 9. So I want to ask you, when he, you said he played with David Lee Roth. Was he in the band with David Lee Roth, or was he the opener?
No, he was in his band.
So did he Did he play Van Halen songs?
Yeah. So this is in David Lee Roth's career when he sort of like
he split
left,
off.
Left Van Halen.
Yeah.
And he sort of formed his own group, which ended up sort of being this super group because he had people like Steve Vai as his new guitar player and Billy Sheehan on bass. And it was, they kind of did this amazing album. This is in 86. Mm. And then did a, Steve Vai was with him for a couple of albums in that kind of later part of the 80s. And yeah, toured Australia. So my mind was blown.
I could see him.
I can imagine
him being able to play the Eddie Van Halen stuff.
Yeah. David Lee Roth was,
I was
like
just looking up. It's like, I'm sorry, he like started his career with Frank Zappa.
Yeah,
he was a transcriptionist for Frank Zappa and was in his band from 1980 to 83. Wow,
yeah,
that's so cool.
What does it mean to be
David Lee Roth? And then he was played with, he recorded with like PIL, Public Image Limited.
Oh, really?
Mary J. Blige, Spinal Tap, Alice Cooper. It's pretty amazing. Okay. I remember it was like, I think his first or second solo album in the 80s. That was kind of right when I was kind of like listening to that and like Metallica or something like that kind of before kind of going into more like alternative or like punk, you know. But it was, yeah, amazing, yeah.
What does it mean to be the transcriptionist for Frank Zappa?
I don't know. He had to write out all the notes on pages of music. Yeah.
That'd be hard to
can you imagine? Oh, my God. Yeah. Being Frank Zappa's secretary would be a tough job. You'd
probably like,
oh, whip
God.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fun stuff, Nicholas. All right. He's keeping us on our toes here. That's not your standard indie rock right there. All right. Jeremiah. What is your number 9 album of 2023?
Well, I love this album. And then I was also, with my top 10, I'm also trying to like sometimes kind of show some really great music that like didn't get on the podcast or something. But this one did. Milena's, this awesome, strong women-led band from Papaloma, Spain. Pamplona, Spain, and their album Ahora, I really liked. I think we talked about it sometime this year. I can't remember. It's like July or something. Maybe it was this fall.
And this is the third appearance. The third appearance on the end of your lists. So you haven't been listening, but
really,
yeah, it was a pretty
no
good
way. Okay,
Milena's.
I thought I saw. Yeah, one of the listeners had it on their list somewhere. But
yeah,
yep. Yeah, that's cool. Wait, who else? Any of the correspondents have it? Because I've been like trying to like
Chris, Chris, and I think it was Jason, or was it Anurag?
Oh, cool.
Either Jason or Anurag had it on there. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So, and then I got to thinking about how great it is.
Like,
that was one of those kind of made me rethink. Like, oh man, maybe it shouldn't have been on there, but. Okay, so what do we got? What are we going to play from the latest?
I think, too, like, bands get on my list that I have, like, maybe haven't seen, and I'm kind of, like, slightly kind of, like, obsessed on it. So I was really looking at my list earlier, like, oh, wow, like, most of these bands actually haven't seen live. You'd almost think it was the opposite, you know? I was like, oh, I see them live, and that kind of, like, seals the deal. But maybe there's something that there's, like, this mystery out there that brings it.
Could
brings
be that,
it,
yeah.
You know, up to the top of the list. So, but Milena's Ahora. Let's try track 8, Tu y Yo.
Yeah.
Malena's. That's a great one. Jeremiah's number 9.
Yeah, I like that album, yes. And they actually sent in, what, a voice signature one time for us? That was good.
Yeah, the previous album, we have a one of those Will's Band promo things from them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Definitely.
I like that track. I really feel like that if anyone made a playlist of like or everyone's top 10 like albums or the tracks from the albums, you just have this great playlist. I'm not talking about my tracks, I'm talking about everyone else's. It's just like the cream of the crop. So totally. Jeremiah already great.
Yeah that's
that's a good idea. That'd be fun to do. Yeah, just kind of make a playlist of all the listeners and the correspondents top 10s and everything. That'd be really fun.
So I'm trying to put them all up on the website. So that is where you can go to willsband.net. You can see the list. So what I've been doing is I put up the list like a couple days after the podcast goes up in case people want to listen to the podcast and be surprised, and you know, so we just delay it a little bit, then I put it up there. So the list should all be. Chris specifically requested that I put the lists up so that he would have a way to go back and find his own lists. So, but
yeah,
you know, there have been some times where I've just been like, oh God, it's tedious to type it all out and all that stuff. But I figured out how to do it pretty efficiently. So yeah, I hope to have everybody's up there. All right, that is great. You're both 2 for 2. And now we're going to go to Nicholas's number 8. Now, I have a funny story to tell you about this. Now, I think you told me that this is not on the streaming services, so we have to play it from Bandcamp, right?
Yeah.
So what I did is I did the same thing with Grant had a track that was only on Bandcamp and not on the streaming services. So I just put a dummy track kind of in the playlist so I could keep track kind of, right, and have like a list of 10 and then it doesn't confuse me and I'm easily confused. So I was using the keywords from your choice, and I just took the first thing that popped up and I put it on the playlist. So we've got the track Lucid Dreams by the artist Headache Relief Remedies from the album Music for Headaches, Migraine, Natural Relief Remedies, Sounds of Nature.
I like the early stuff. Yeah, is really good.
I think
early stuff is more punk, I think. Yeah. So somehow those keywords came from Nicholas's number 8, which you're now going
to
tell us.
I feel like you've got to give us a little snippet. Can you just give us like 5 seconds? I've got no idea what this is going to sound like. Just
okay, here it is.
Sounds like the start of the Abbott track that I played before.
Well, whatever it is, it's supposed to soothe your headache, I think.
Oh, it's lovely.
Right?
It's beautiful.
It kind of sounds like when you get a massage and they've got the new age music going. It kind of sounds like that, right? Music for headaches. All right, Nicholas, what is the real number 8?
The massages. Yeah, it sounds like a good massage.
Exactly.
Okay, number 8 is one of my favorite Melbourne bands called The Secret Migraines. Now, I've got to come clean. I mean, it is my friend Luke and his daughter Ella, who are good friends of ours in the band, but, you know, who cares? Because they made a great EP mini album that came out this year. I think before I said that this year was 2024, apparently it's actually 2023 this year.
It's easy to get ahead of yourself, yeah.
So The Secret Migraines are a 3-piece from here in Melbourne. They put out this album called A Love Letter to Helen. My friend Luke plays acoustic guitar, saxophone, and sings. His daughter, Ella, who's about, I don't know, 17, she plays electric guitar, and also Liz on percussion. Just a great Melbourne band, and they put this out and got lots of airplay here in Melbourne, so that's really fantastic for them. So I just wanted to share some Melbourne indie rock with the world too. So from their album A Love Letter to Helen, this is The Secret Migraines with I Wish I Was Sleeping. Thank you.
ice is melting. My face is melting. My face is bleeding. My leg is bleeding. My leg is sleeping. My head is sleeping. I wish I was sleeping.
We really can't do that track justice, right? Because it's 10.5 minutes long.
Yeah, they're good at long, the slow burn, as we like to say. You know, long songs. So if you're a fan of long songs, although they got some short ones anyway. Yeah, they got some long, slow songs, and then some shorter, sort of shouty, punky songs. So I like them. I think they're kind of interesting and cool. Yeah. And we're fans of the talk singing on this podcast too.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't we love talk singing?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's true. Yes, very much so. That was cool. What was their name again?
The Secret Migraines.
Right, okay.
From Melbourne, and you will find them on Bandcamp.
Maybe now's the time for me to plug another Melbourne thing. So about a month ago, Nicholas sent me a bunch of swag. I mean, it was like all this punk poetry and there was a CD in there and a cassette. Nice. And all this stuff. And so I'm looking at this cassette and I'm like, how am I going to play a cassette? Like, what am I going to do? I got to find this somewhere because I don't have a cassette player. Well, it was cool because inside the cassette, there was a download code for the, you know, to download it from Bandcamp. And what it was is a compilation from an Australian label called Psychic Hysteria. And, it's great. So people check out Psychic Hysteria, the Melbourne label, because it's a crazy number of tracks. I think it's like 29 songs by 29 different bands, and it's like an hour and 40 minutes long. So it's ridiculous. But I was on a train just over the weekend, and I said, I'm going to listen to this Psychic Hysteria thing. The hit rate is super high. Like, there's really a bunch of super cool, you know, punky stuff. And then, like, out of nowhere, you're up to track 23, and there's this a cappella thing. It's like, wait a minute. So anyway, yeah, plug that. Thanks for sending that, Nicholas. That's really cool.
Cool. No worries.
So.
Definitely. Sounds great.
All right. So that's Nicholas's number 8, The Secret Migraines. And now we are at Jeremiah's number 8.
Yes. Let's see. This band, Claude, their new album, Supermodels, I liked it a lot. It was funny. It was kind of a slow burn on it. I don't know. It just, I think we talked about Claude one other time. I think, when was it, 2 years ago, or the last album I was on, mm-hmm. We talked about it together. But yeah, it's just like, I mean, it's real easy. I don't know. I don't know why, like, they're just kind of like hit me in the heart somehow, even though it's just kind of, it's just young and like kind of raw emotions. But sometimes it's just like fun pop music too. This album is put out on Satisfactory Records, which is Phoebe Bridgers' new label. So that's kind of cool. It's so funny. I never really watch music videos, but then, somehow I was doing kind of looking at this album and the song I picked, and the video for this is has Paul Rudd in it. I don't know if you know him. He's like a funny actor, comedian, as the mailman delivering her it's a great video if you want to check it out. So I picked track 3, A Good Thing.
push you off, but I'm on top. Can't decide what side I'm on. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? On the count of three. What if we just leave a good thing alone? Don't try and fix it if it isn't broke. Looking for the answers to the questions that we're
That's Claude. The album Supermodels is Jeremiah's number 8 album of 2023. That was another one where I had it on the list of things to listen to, and then there were just too many things to listen to, so I never really got around to it. But sounds cool.
Yeah, it was a good album. I liked it. Check it out. Support these people.
Absolutely. Nicholas, what's the number 7 album of 2023?
Well, I got to keep reminding us that these first 5 things that I'm playing, they're kind of not really the best albums, but this is in the category of my favorite new podcast that I found this year. So we all love Lou Barlow, yeah? Bass
sure.
player from Dinosaur Jr., leader of Sebado, the Folk Implosion, does his own stuff. So he and his wife started doing this podcast. My friend Luke, actually, Luke from The Secret Migraines, got me onto their podcast. He does this weekly podcast, or twice a week, called Raw Impressions. Have you guys listened to that?
I haven't heard it, no.
Man.
No, that's cool. I'll check it out.
It's just him and his wife, and they're at home. They record this each week. Lou kind of records a cover or does like a demo version of one of his songs or something like that and presents that as well. But I don't think I've ever had a podcast where I've like been like, oh my God, I love this so much. I've got to listen to every episode that they've recorded. So I like listened to, I don't know, like 50 episodes in about 6 months or something like that. And it's just so intimate as well. It's really, so if you're a fan of Lou Barlow's music or Dinosaur Jr., I would encourage you to listen to it. You get just this amazing insight into sort of his life, his family's life. He talks about, you know, the early days of Dinosaur Jr. He kind of talks about Jay Masker sometimes. But you kind of get an idea of, oh, okay, this is like an indie rock legend, but this is what his normal life is like. And it's kind of just a normal guy with a family and, you know, goes on tour to make money. And it's a great podcast, very funny, it's so intimate. I can't really stress how amazing they are at just creating this sort of intimate relationship, I guess, that you have with them when you listen to it. So anyway, I know everyone, you know, has to listen to our podcast, but I'm sure everyone's got time for another one as well. So Raw Impressions, it's called. But yeah, I still love Lou Barlow's music. I think he's been in my top 10 before. But he did actually release a single that was part of a tribute album to Adam Green called Moping in Style. Adam Green, who I didn't really know him, but he's from the Moldy Peaches and was kind of became famous because some of his sort of like lo-fi anti-folk music was part of the Juno soundtrack, you know, 15 years ago or something like that. Anyway, Lou Barlow recorded one of Adam Green's songs, which we're going to play now, called Never Lift a Finger.
Things are not so horrible now you're not my old. Something died.
for all time when I saw you conspiring to never lift a finger. Once you were my manager, then you were my passenger. Different highs, different lives, till no soul would reshape you again. Nothing gained, something lost. The ecstasy had worn off. Something died for all time when I saw you conspiring. Never lift a finger.
Lou Barlow. So it's lo-fi, kind of, right? And I was thinking there's two kinds of lo-fi. Cool lo-fi and just lo-fi that's bad, right? That's like lo-fi because it's just not well done, right? And this is cool lo-fi. You know, most of the stuff we listen to and we say it's lo-fi, definitely, we think it's cool, obviously, right? But, you know, there's an art to it also, right? And, you know, just making a bad recording doesn't make you cool lo-fi. So there's something that sounds kind of cool about that, right? It's like a little distortion in the recording on this acoustic guitar, and it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the Lou Barlow sound. He often talks about his cassette four-track that's a sort of central part of his home studio. So I think, yeah, he's refined his skills of lo-fi but sounding warm and cool at the same time.
Yeah,
that was nice. Well, I love that.
Lou Barlow, a valid inclusion for sure. All right, Jeremiah, what is here's a fun one. Number 7, making a repeat performance. I mean, right. Maybe a repeat appearance, I should say. Maybe you haven't been listening and you don't know, but this is appearance number 3, I think, maybe for this.
Good. Yeah, I heard the podcast when Jason talked about the album. But speaking of cool lo-fi, right?
Right.
Our own Jason Lambeth, amazing, and Elsa Nicola. You know, besides being amazing visual artists, or he's a visual artist, and I think I just found out today reading up on them that she's a published author, right?
Right.
And yeah, it's like, what a cool combo. And then obviously Jason's an amazing parent and has a cool company too, and just like all around awesome person. So but that, even if he was like the most terrible person in the world and maybe running with Donald Trump for 20, never mind. This would still be an amazing album, would still be at number 7, even if he was like holding hands with Donald Trump. Red Pants, not quite there yet. Great album. I really loved it. And I don't know. I don't like, we've talked about it enough on the podcast, I'm sure, before, but it's kind of like a warm blanket, right? Like a down pillow. So for me at least. Number 6, At the Turnstile is the one I picked.
We were always falling out the window, trying to leave.
our very own Jason. Red Pants. Not quite there yet is the name of the album.
I think it's there, though, right? I think he's selling themselves short a little bit on that.
Exactly,
they're kind of there, I think.
I think he's there, yeah. Yep.
But I guess it's good to have, like, you know, it's good to have some goals. If not,
yeah.
Think that you're finished at whatever, 40 years old or however young he is.
It's definitely been fun seeing a lot of people put this album on their list. Because, you know, it's easy to... We all have friends who put out albums, you know. And we're not going to put them in the top 10 unless we really think they're worthy, right? So, actually, I think in an upcoming podcast, I'm going to talk about some friends of mine that put out an album this year that I only discovered recently. Because nobody told me they put the album out. Suddenly the album's out. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This is really good. So, I'm going to plug that one in the next few weeks. Jason, fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, it was great.
Hey, Nicholas, what's the number six selection, we'll call it?
Well, I know we talk about aging rockers, don't we? And I guess my last pick was from Lou Barlow, who's 57. You can pretty safely say he's an aging rocker.
Yeah.
If someone's 82, what are they?
It's sort of beyond. It's like post-aging rocker or something, right?
Like a wrinkly rocker,
right? A well-matured cheese rocker.
Cheese rocker. Hey, I like that.
Right. Cheese.
Well, you know, Paul Simon is 82. And, you know, you can say what you want about Paul Simon. Maybe I think sometimes people become so sort of like, I don't know, ingrained in the music industry or whatever. It's a bit like Paul McCartney. It's sort of like you can almost overlook them because they're so well known or something like that, or even kind of disregard them because they've had such an illustrious career. And, okay, that's fair enough. But I suppose Paul Simon's one of these artists who I've kind of grown to really love in the last few years, and particularly his last couple of albums. The last couple of albums he's put out in the last 10 years, I thought were awesome, totally great, great albums. So I'm not sort of like, you know, stuck in the 70s or something like that with Paul Simon, or even the 80s. So I've listened to a couple of interviews with him, and he's a songwriter who's still just trying to find things and still wants to put out new music. And I suppose when someone's 82 and they're putting out their 15th solo album, I suppose I feel like, wow, you know, I hope that I'm still putting out albums when I'm 82. And isn't that just amazing to be that age and still putting out, you know, just putting out another Best of Paul Simon album, you know? So he put out an album this year called Seven Psalms, which is kind of an interesting release. It's like these seven sort of songs that are all sort of like kind of acoustic based and all sort of put together into one big long track that goes for sort of half an hour. And I just thought it might be nice to kind of like, tip our hat to an 82-year-old indie rocker. I guess you can't really call Paul Simon indie rock, but whatever. But his wife, Edie Brickell, who some of us might remember from the 80s, she's actually singing with him on some of these tracks, which is also really beautiful. And I thought if we can, Will, we might dive in from about the time point of about 29 minutes and 20 seconds. This is kind of the start of the final track called Wait.
Yeah, so it's all one track, 33 minutes long. So, all right, we'll try to come in around 29:20. Here we go.
Just packing my gear. Wait. My hand's steady. My mind is still clear. I hear the ghost songs I want. javelin, pneumonium, through a heartbroken microphone.
Paul Simon. You know, that actually sounded a little bit lo-fi, didn't it? I mean, it's not like what you'd expect from... You'd expect it to be a super glitzy studio recording, and it's pretty raw sounding.
Yeah.
That was really nice. Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize he put something out this year. That's cool. And then Edie Brickell, oh my God, that's like, that was like the quintessential, like, song when I graduated high school in 89, right? And didn't... Her album came out in like 88 or something. So that was like, you know, that's like junior, senior year in high school, you know? Oh.
And credit to him
for
being a famous person to be married for a long time. I think it's his third marriage, but he's been married to her for a long time. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I guess there's still some of these. I guess he's like, you know, like Bob Dylan and Neil Young. And, you know, I mentioned Paul McCartney and some of these old guys that started in the 60s, they're still kind of around and doing stuff, but, you know, they're not going to be around forever. And like I said, I even just respect the fact that some of these guys are still trying, you know, still putting out records. They certainly don't have to, and some of them do.
Yeah. All right. Jeremiah.
That's great. Yeah, just keep the creative stuff flowing. Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah.
What are we at?
Number six.
Where are we at? Six? Oh, yeah, six. Oh, my goodness. This was, I think we actually maybe talked about this in the podcast, too. So I keep thinking I'm trying to bring new things to the top 10 list.
Hey, things that were on the podcast are cool. Here. Come on. Yeah, it's good.
Definitely. Where this maybe falls also into the bucket of someone I haven't, it's this elusive live show I haven't seen, right? So Red Pants, I haven't seen Red Pants. I haven't seen U.S. Girls. And number six, this album, Bless This Mess. I think it's really great. It's really kind of more free-ranging and kind of retro-funk 80s, almost like disco thing. So that's interesting how that's maybe coming again on the top 10 list. And you know, she's always brings a bit of social critique and some interesting songwriting. And I think what she's Canadian, right? So, but that's, you know, Canadian. I can't remember from where, but Meg Remy, right? Is that her name? Yeah, Meg Remy. And I picked track 5, So Typical Now.
U.S. Girls. Yeah, I think when we talked about it, we were commenting about the fact that their live shows have this great reputation, right, of being like this big extravaganza. So it's very, it makes you curious,
right? I know,
right?
I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's this like hidden gem or hidden thing or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's out there somewhere. So yeah, it's hopefully at some point that will happen. But yeah, I really liked this album. I think she's, you know, she's a new mom and just really talented and just, yeah, it's cool. I just like all of her, most of her. I think the album before this, I even like even a little bit more, but this one is still on my top 10. So that explains how much maybe I like this band.
I think they go way back too, don't they? Because I think I remember my son Reese playing like old U.S. Girls from several years ago.
I think like it's been like 15 years or something.
So she's kind of an indie rock veteran, really.
2010 or 2008 or something, the first album.
Yeah, yep. All right, this year's album was Bless This Mess by U.S. Girls. That's Jeremiah's number 6. So
lots of cool, funky, dancey stuff, Jeremiah, I'm noticing. That's a bit of a bit of a vibe. Did you say that's kind of true?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. The last few years, yeah, moving more into kind of like almost dance disco stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not all the time, but just, yeah, just kind of like spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. It's nice.
Get this old body moving.
Yeah.
All right. We've made it to the second half. Time for the music now. Oh, man, yeah. We are really, you guys are very conversational. We're recording for a long time. Hopefully the listeners will be happy with the great content. I mean, it was already, it's probably been greater than $0 worth like 15 minutes ago. So, I mean, this is all bonus from here, right?
It only gets better. And this is where I'm actually shifting gear. So I'm getting into the top 10 albums proper. This is where it gets less shonky.
Right. And then okay. your number 5 is a repeat that has already been featured. It's pretty cool. So
to say, yeah. I mean, I guess the cream rises to the top, really,
it does.
Doesn't it, Will? And that's what we're all about here. And Lewsburg was, I think that you actually got me onto this, Will, and I think you and I actually talked about this on the podcast, I guess, sometime halfway through the year.
And Jason was a big fan, and I liked it a lot, too. Yep.
Yeah, it's great. You know, and I suppose when I was revisiting a few of the releases, you know, thinking about what I'd put on the top 10, like just straight away I was listening to it and like, oh yeah, this just a great album. Pretty much every track is great. I just love their sound and just a real standout. So Lewsburg, their album Out and About, I chose the track A Different View.
Can we call that cool lo-fi also? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Loosbert from Rotterdam, Netherlands. Very cool.
Okay, that's where they're from. Wow, very cool. I don't know. They slipped through the cracks for me. So thank you so much. Yeah, they're on my service. It says similar artists, the Stroppies, Anne and Tedden Anna, which I think has been on the podcast.
Yep.
And who else on here? Sweeping Promises, who I've never heard of, but I'm sure they're good.
I think we've also talked about them on the podcast. Yeah. And I think surely Loosbert get points for being on multiple lists so far. Will, I don't know. You know, there can't be that many bands that have been on multiple lists, but this must be the third time this year already. Is that right, Will?
Well, at least two. Jason had on his list. Mm. Not sure if anybody else did. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's a really good one. It's fun. It's a lot of it's Velvet Underground-y, right? And then it's got a little different dimension when the woman sings, which I love.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Out and About is the name of the album. That's Nicholas's number 5 album of 2023. And now that we're in the proper non-shonky section, right? All right. Jeremiah, what's your number 5 album of 2023?
Oh, yes. I just had a senior moment there for a minute. Actually, my number 5 is Sweeping Promises. Good Living is Coming for You. I loved their last album too, but then this one just, again, wow, these two people, amazing, or probably more than two people in the whole scene, but I guess they're from Lawrence, Kansas, which is, have you guys ever been to Lawrence, Kansas? Like, it's a cool little town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I know it's a college town, right? So
it's like a college town in the middle of Kansas. And
I tend
it's actually
to,
go ahead.
I tend to like college towns, you know, and I think I probably would like Lawrence, Kansas, but I've never been there.
Yeah, it's a cool little town. Yeah, there's, I'm trying to remember, I spent some time there in the 90s, just. I had a girlfriend's mom that lived there anyway, but it's a cool, it's interesting. I think the anarchist magazine or anarchist society is from it's an interesting little town in the middle of Kansas, but Sweeping Promises. I had no idea they're from Lawrence, Kansas until today, but yes, they, I don't know even how to describe them really. But again, I think they kind of record with one mic, kind of, right? Isn't it in the middle of the room?
Something that. Yeah. Yeah.
Just play. Yeah. So it's just, it's really, I just like almost everything they put out. So it's Lyra Mandahl and Caulfield Schnug. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but I'm sorry, but thank you so much as well. I picked track 4, Connoisseur of Salt.
Sweeping Promises, Good Living is Coming for You. Jeremiah's number 5. And that was on Chris's list also. And we talked about how that's lo-fi for sure, right? And it's such a weird lo-fi that I'm not sure if I'm totally on board with it. But then it kind of makes me think I want to see them live because I want to hear what these songs sound like when they don't sound like they're like buried under a carpet or something.
you can hear how much
you probably
they
like the bass too, right? Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, cool band for sure. And yeah, I feel like they're really gaining a following, and I've seen them on a few other lists too. So it's great.
I'm just watching a couple of live clips of theirs that are on YouTube, and you can see they're into it, especially the guitar player. So I think all that energy totally comes through. So, yeah, I reckon that'd be heaps of fun to see live. But you can hear it, can't you? You can hear how much fun they're having. They're having fun while they're rocking.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not like taking itself too seriously. They're definitely having fun. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Nicholas's number 4. I can introduce this as an artist who I failed to see live, even though I had potentially a chance to see him live. I was in a town where he was playing, and I was with my wife and my sister. So we're kind of like in this travel mode. And like, am I going to break off and go see a band? You know what? You know what was the final deciding factor? It was that I looked it up, and he was playing solo acoustic, and I'm like, if he had a full band, I would have been there. Solo acoustic, I would like it, but you know, an hour of or more of solo acoustic, I wasn't so sure. This is an old favorite though, Nicholas, right? We've had, I think both of us have had this guy on our lists in the past. So how's my build up? Yeah. Was my build up okay?
It was great. I love it. You're painting a picture. This is actually the third time that Chris Staples has been on my top 10 over the last 10 years. So he put out an album this year called Cloud Souvenirs. And I only kind of really recently discovered it. But I suppose what I've discovered in the last like few weeks is I've had a couple of albums particularly that I've been putting on here at home. And, you know, you're kind of getting towards the end of the year, you're wrapping Christmas presents in the living room, you're kind of having a little walk as the sun goes down around the neighborhood and maybe kind of thinking, oh, the year's kind of wrapping up. And sometimes you've got that album that's just like the perfect soundtrack to that. And I guess Chris Staples' album, Cloud Souvenirs, has been one of those. And, there's something really special. I feel like I've loved some of his albums. I haven't always loved every album that he's put out, but this, there's something a bit special about this, and it seems something a little even more personal or something about these songs. So it's hard to know what's been going on in his life, but I feel like he's really kind of touching something very, very deep when he's writing his lyrics. And let's have a little taste of that. This is a track, I guess it's kind of the title track. It's called Souvenir from Chris Staples.
Dad taught me how to work hard. Hot summer in a lumber yard. I turned a wrench on my first car. Picked out some chords on the guitar. I was afraid I'd be erased if I didn't leave this place. I think about it nearly every day. It's burned on my brain like a fireplace. A thick film on everything. The residue of memory. Storefronts, hotels. Everything reminds me of something else. Baseball diamonds, waterfront parks, cemeteries after dark, quiet places with no name, where long shadows.
I'm thinking maybe I should have gone to that gig. That's really good. Oh, just he's got away with it, right? It's such a skill to be able to pull that off. You know, you think Sufjan Stevens, you know, people like that that just have an engaging ability to. Oh, it's great. Chris Staples, Cloud Souvenirs. Nicholas is number 4.
Yeah, it's a beautiful album.
Wow, that was cool. I don't think I've ever. I mean, I've heard the name, but I was like, "Is it Chris Stapleton? Chris Stapleton?"
Yeah, there's a Chris Stapleton. I think he's more famous, right?
He's like country.
Yeah.
Or something, right? I was like, I thought it was country. Okay, that was great. Wow, thank you. Very nice.
All right, Jeremiah, number 4. I think you've talked about this artist before. It sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, so Munya from Montreal is Josie Bovine. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Josie Bovine. I don't know if that's how you would say it in French. Probably not. But the new album is Jardin, which I think is what French for garden, on Fat Possum Records. And I don't know a whole lot about her. I've liked a lot of her kind of singles and EPs before. And I think we saw her, or maybe it was by myself. I thought there was some other podcasters with me at South by Southwest. We saw her, or I saw her at least in 2019. And it was a great show. And it's really kind of like spacey kind of, I don't know, like dream pop. This album is a little more, and especially the track I'm going to play is a little more kind of like disco-y almost again. So I'm kind of like bouncing between kind of lo-fi and super hi-fi disco, I guess. And this song too, I hadn't realized this, but the song I'm going to pick was written in reverence of Giorgio Moroder, which he's like, I've heard his name over the years. I'm like, who the heck is this guy? And just looked him up the other day. And he was kind of like he's like the godfather of disco, like this Italian guy from the mid-70s that kind of inspired like Daft Punk and a lot of kind of people in the 90s that like that. So anyway, Munya Jardin is the album. I picked track 9, Un de Toi.
Munya. That's total disco revival, right? Yeah. It's good.
She's like a trained opera singer, so she has a good voice, but she's kind of went in a different direction, I guess.
That's cool. I did not see her South by Southwest, but if she comes back, I would be interested.
Yes, I hope so. Yes. You're going this year, or you're kind of up in the air, you said, right?
I've declared myself 90% in. I think I'm almost for sure I'm gonna go. Yeah.
Right.
David's in for sure. You're what? You're likely?
I'm like 80, something like that.
Okay,
gotta get Nicholas good. Over. I've been trying to save up my airline points, like see if when he can get away from the kids, or maybe bring the whole.
Being the whole gang? Oh, yeah.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing.
Oh, we got to get Nicholas over. That would be great. Yeah.
I actually looked last year and I was like, okay, I don't have enough points. I was like, maybe we can do this. But someday we will.
We got to make it happen.
This will happen.
Yeah. It's such a fun thing. Okay, we are at Nicholas's number three. So, I mean, this is really serious now. Number three album of 2023.
Cool. Well, we're coming back to Melbourne and another artist that we featured together, Will, this year.
Yeah.
Martin Frawley, who people might know as one of the members of the Twerps from years ago. He's put out some solo albums, but I just love this album. He put out this album called The Wannabe. And I guess it's, you know, when you got great songs and a great band and a great recording, it adds up to something great, really, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just awesome. And I suppose I could kind of relate to his, I don't know if it's sort of an Australian sense of humour in some of the lyrics, and kind of I think he's made it very sort of plain, his sort of maybe frustrations as a struggling musician, and, you know, the expectations of his father was a sort of a semi-famous musician here in Australia who died, you know, 15 years ago. So I think there's a lot of baggage that goes along with that, and he sort of put all of that into many of the songs. I just thought it was a great personal and just awesome album called The Wannabe from Martin Frawley. And I guess this is the title track, The Wannabe.
Martin Frawley, the title track from The Wannabe, the number three album of 2023, according to Nicholas. So there's an analogy, I don't know, like a comparison, the Reds, Pinks, and Purples album that David was talking about last week had this kind of struggling musician theme, which was cool because it just seems like they're both doing it well. It sounds authentic, you know, kind of cool. Now, the other thing I thought of when I was listening to that, you know how we have sort of a, there's like an Australian pop style or something, right? Where you hear, you know, and sometimes they say it's the jangle pop or whatever, and just kind of the sound of the band overall. But it struck me listening to that, just the way he was strumming the guitar for the first few notes, it sort of sounded Australian. Like, how can that even be? do you hit the notes on the guitar differently? I don't know, but it totally sounded just, it was a cool sound, and it didn't sound American to me. And it, like, we all think it's way cooler to be from Melbourne than to be from the United States, you know? Oh, that's great though. Didn't we talk about the album cover? And I thought it was him and his son, and you corrected me and said, no, it's his dad and him actually. But, you know, it's like a, Yeah, it's a father son thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that song, he's sort of saying, "Americans walk by, they don't understand a man with self doubt." I don't know. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, there's an element of that for sure. Yeah,
and I love that line. Also, where he says, "A half-assed musician that no one wants to see."
Right,
and I can certainly relate to that. And that's what I love about his lyrics. It's like he's kind of there's a dark sense of humor and an anger and a sort of a relaxedness all kind of rolled up together. And I liked it. Yeah.
I have a friend who plays a lot of music gigs, and he put up a social media post a few days ago. And he started off by saying that he had a gig recently at a bar, and I think it was him. He plays a lot with his sons. And I think he was playing with one of his sons, and literally nobody showed up. There were literally no customers in this bar. This was the bartender. They're like entertaining the bartender. And then he went into this kind of philosophical statement about how great it is to play music, and you're going to have some gigs where nobody's going to show up. And it was just really neat because it was just the way that he phrased it. There probably aren't many. There are musicians like me who never get people to come and see us, right? So playing for, you know, four people or occasionally zero is not really that uncommon. But I bet most musicians have experienced that, right? Where you you basically get nobody, and then you just gotta enjoy it.
Done it. Yeah, you play to the people working behind the bar,
and you say like, we'll treat this like a practice and we'll have fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, the struggling musician. What a great theme, right? But I think Martin Frawley is well beyond that. Like he's pretty legit. He should feel,
he's legit.
Should feel good about himself. All right, that's Nicholas's number
that
three.
That kind of reminded me of like David Berman or Silver Jews or something almost a little bit.
Maybe not quite that depressing.
You kind of like that. Right, yeah, maybe not that depressing. Not that depressing.
Yeah, yep.
Had a little bit of that vibe.
Right.
More of like the Silver Jews, I think.
Jeremiah, what's number three? Fun. I was hoping somebody would pick
this.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody did. This is the first appearance on the podcast for this end-of-year list series. Yep.
Oh, good. Yeah, and didn't you just see them, I think?
I did. I'll comment on that a little bit further. Yeah, this will be my excuse for sort of a pseudo-live report.
Nice. Okay. Yes, Bar Italia. They actually put out two albums this year. I like the first one better, called Tracy Denham, better. Do I like it better? For some reason I picked this one over the second album that I think it's called The Twits or something.
Right, The Twits.
Maybe it was because the album name? I don't know.
the songs are better.
Denham. The name of Tracy Denham sounded better.
Tracy Denham is a better album. I mean, I think that...
Think, right?
Yeah. They put out two albums in the year.
They're putting
and the
out
first
a lot
was,
of music.
Yeah. Yep.
Because this one had, I'm trying to remember, I need to look, but I think it was like, I don't know, 15 tracks or something. Then they put out a second album in the same year. So, but yes, they're from London, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Nina, Christina, Jesmi, Tarek, Femi, and Sam Fenton. So, and they kind of they also kind of sound, lo-fi, kind of slacker, almost a little bit kind of Velvet Underground, maybe, or I'm like, we need Barrett to help me fill in the blanks here. But kind of that, I don't know, not slacker, I don't know what it is, but just kind of, I think they were also kind of like mysterious the first couple singles or EPs, like nobody really knew who they were or something. Anyway, I like this album a lot. I picked track 14, Friends.
I sold my soul.
That's Bar Italia. The Tracy Denham album is Jeremiah's number 3. I'm really glad that this made somebody's top 10, and it was a contender for me. Have you seen them live, Jeremiah?
No. So I'm like, they're another yes. I need to see situation.
So most of the time, you see somebody live, and it enhances your, it solidifies, and you're like, okay, they're definitely in my top 10. But so Bar Italia did two mm-hmm. things. First of all, they put out a second album that I don't think was as good as the first one, and it kind of diluted the whole thing for me, where I was like, okay, wait a minute, why did they even put out the second album if it wasn't going to be, because this one is like really solid, and the second one is kind of, it's just a little bit harder to absorb, I think. And so then live, they were playing more stuff, I think, from the second album, but also they kind of had this oddly off-putting attitude. Like they never smiled. They never talked to the audience. They just kind of played. Every once in a while, there'd be a smile. And one time, they were in between songs and just completely silent. And somebody way in the back yells, "Say something!" And then the guy is like, "What do you want me to say?" And then they just started the next song. It's like, so I don't know if they were, mm-hmm. maybe they were like worn down from their tour or something. Like, technically they were good, and they, you know, they're a really good band for sure. But it was an odd performance. And I think maybe part of it was they came to Madison, which is, I'm so glad they came to Madison, but they did not, it was less than half full in the venue. So maybe 100 people or something. And then they got to the end. Don't you think like now, the walk off the stage, wait for the clapping encore has become a little bit like, especially in indie rock, like it's not as common, right? You kind of just say, okay, oh, we're going to do two more, and then you're done, right? So they did the walk off the stage thing, and then almost nobody clapped. They were like, everybody was standing there like, yeah, I don't know. They were like, the crowd was kind of like, If you guys want to come back and play another song, that's fine, but we don't really care. You know? so they just came back, okay, yeah, what the hell, we'll play a couple more. It was kind of weird, but, you know, still, I mean, I was glad I went. It was good, but it'd be interesting to see them again now. And I kind of feel like they are a band in their, kind of still in their beginnings, and they probably will develop more consistent songwriting, and maybe their next album will be like really good. It's just that there's a lot of hit and miss, I think, especially on the second album. But now I talked way too definitely. Much. Like, I completely talked way too much. So, but it was like a live report waiting to be provided, right? So I had to do it.
Or just put out so much material. Like, it's better, like, maybe to, like, save a little bit. Because even this first album of the year had, I didn't even look, but I think it was, like, whatever, 15 tracks or something.
Right.
And then put out another album the same year. It's like, okay, just I can work on it and refine it. But funny with like seeing things live and just kind of hit or miss. And like I've mentioned that about like Always, I saw them once and I was kind of like, I really like the recorded stuff, but then live was like,
we talked about that. Talked about that recently too. I got tickets for their show in April. They're coming back here, and I'm just hoping maybe having played so many gigs, they'll just be a, you know, such a polished live band, they'll be better. So, and their albums are so definitely. Good that, you know, they don't have to be that great to still be really good. So, okay, Bar Italia, Tracy Denham is the album. That's Jeremiah's number 3 album of 2023. And we are now up to Nicholas's number 2, which will not disappoint, right?
Yeah, well, you might be able to help me out. I wasn't really able to find out much information about this band, but I mean, Paris, France is like obviously an amazing sort of like breeding kind of ground for like indie rock, and like there's this particular artist, and I no one on this podcast has actually kind of mentioned this guy or this band before, so I feel good that I'm finally sort of like, you know, bringing something new that's, you know, sort of like I'm right on the edge, and like it's like, oh, what's Nicholas going to say next? But there's this guy called Well, he's a French guy called Jason Lambert. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And his band, called the Rouge Pantaloons, put out this great album. And
wow,
I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, no, they're really good. They're really good. Yeah, I think they're going to be big. Anyway, wow. they've got their album is called La, Not Quite There Yet. Yeah. And like I said, great band, Rouge Pantaloons. Check them out. Will, I think we should just play a song. So you guys can hear this for the first time. Their song called Quiet, or La Quiet Eyes, is a very, very good song. La Quiet Eyes from Rouge Pantaloons. Hey, Will, sorry, you might have to edit that last bit out. I got really confused because as that was playing, I started, like, Googling that band, and they said something about this guy, Jason, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin, some band called Red Pants. I'm like, no, it's Rouge Pantaloons from France. Like, what? So I'm not sure. I don't know. What's going on?
I think they just threw you off with the language barrier, you know.
Right, maybe it's that the auto translate something happened. Something they were like, maybe there's two of them. Maybe there's twins.
If you're in Australia,
like separated at birth.
I think if you're in Australia and you go to an American website, it gives you actually the French translation.
Oh,
it must be that.
Maybe that's what's happened.
Yeah. All right.
Well, look, the joke's probably over. It was probably over before I even started, but that's actually the third time. We're, of course, talking about Jason's band, Red Pants, and it's the third time they've ended up on my top 10 over the last few years. So I just say well done to Jason and Elsa for making a great album. I mean, we love Jason, and I suppose the funny thing, isn't it, we're kind of, you were sort of talking about before, Jeremiah, about, like, you know, if he was a Donald Trump lover or still like his music. Isn't it funny how we kind of like separate the person from the music? I'm not saying there's any right or wrong. It's just kind of interesting, isn't it? And I guess we're lucky that we kind of know Jason and we know his music, whereas most of the other music, we just kind of know the music. But we kind of feel like, oh, well, somehow we've got to separate them. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting, isn't it? But thanks to Jason for putting out a great album.
Yeah. It was the year of Red Pants for sure.
Mm-hmm. The Rouge Pantalones. Pantaloons. I said it in Spanish, pantalones.
Oh, maybe it's the
Rojo Pantalones.
Yeah.
There maybe we go, Rojo Pantalones.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're like tribute bands in those cities, you know, how the Eagles and the Beatles always have these tribute bands. Maybe they're the Spanish and French tribute bands.
You got... You definitely got the
title.
They
just changed the name of the band where they're playing, right? And they're in Spain. It's the,
right.
The Rojo Pantalones.
You got the album title translation right. Definitely the French translation would be La, not quite there yet. All right. Okay. Jeremiah, what's the number two album of 2023?
Oh, my goodness. This probably isn't a surprise. But yeah, so yeah, always I need to have like at least a couple Montreal bands on the list. And Helena DeLand is one of my favorites. And yes, I just this one was this album. It's called Goodnight Summerland. It's like a it's much more stripped down singer songwriter, kind of almost folk Americana than her last album, which she was so kind enough to come on the show for and talk to us about, which was really fun.
Yes.
But yeah, this one's still like, there's just like, she's, for me, she's one of my favorite songwriters. So like, she's always can kind of just like evoke some emotion and kind of, what add something extra to whatever a walk or a hike or the ambiance in the house or whatever, when you're doing chores or whatever, it's like, there's something that's like her voice is really special to me, I guess, or like it somehow, like, I don't know, it hits, it's, there's like resonance there. And yeah, so I like this album a lot. Number two, album of the year for me. I picked track 4, Bright Green, Vibrant Gray.
Helena DeLand, that's the second appearance on the end of your series. And
really? Wow.
Once again, making me think I wish I had found the time to listen to it. It's still on the list. You need to listen to this list. But I just didn't get the time, and I will listen to it. And wow. Yeah, it was on Anurag's list. So.
Oh, cool.
Very
nice.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And she's a friend of the podcast and totally great. Helena DeLand, Goodnight Summerland is the name of the album. So, another one, like, I think the previous album had a lot of instrumentation and great creativity. Mm-hmm. And this one's maybe a little more stripped down, but now, like, the tracks that you and Anurag played, I'm totally on board with. So I'm looking forward to listening to this whole thing. Very cool.
Yeah, I want to check that out too. That sounded beautiful.
She's a great artist.
Yeah, she's a special one, I think. Yes.
Do you think it's
okay?
I think it's. Is it time for this? Are you in the actual room where that was recorded, Nicholas?
Oh, yeah. There's a gold plaque on the wall that says this wall is wow. near to where the drum was when it got recorded for Will's Band of the Week. Yeah, people come just to see the plaque.
Didn't they get a Grammy for yes. best jingle in back in 2017?
It did. Yeah. There's some criticism because they're like, that drum roll, it kind of started out okay, and then it sort of got a bit sort of messy in the middle, and then you went straight to the cymbal. But I'm like, hey, man, I did it in one take.
Yeah, and then the fade out kind of is a little harsh fade out, but
yeah.
Hey, you know, it's cool.
It's indie rock.
Yeah, it makes it lo-fi cool.
It's a lo-fi cool indie rock drum roll.
Exactly. That's what you had in mind, right?
Yeah, totally.
Right. Nicholas, what's the Live absolute greatest album of 2023?
So I suppose in the end, I feel like it's important to kind of like think about what did I actually listen to lots of times? And I, you know, like all of us, we all love music, and there's just way more music than you can listen to in a whole year. And I tend to sort of like jump around a lot, new music, old music, stuff that I don't know. But I'm going to actually give props to my lovely partner, Finley. You've probably heard me mention before.
Yes.
We're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary of becoming a couple in a few months. And so every now and then, Finley will mention, she'll mention an album. She'll kind of say something that she's discovered and has been listening to. She often listens to music when she's sitting and working. And she said, oh, there's a new Cat Power album. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And she said, oh, yeah, she's doing this, like, live Bob Dylan album. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds kind of interesting. And I kind of haven't really stopped listening to it since she mentioned it. And we've had it on a lot of times, like, over this Christmas period, and it's just a really beautiful album. It's called Cat Power Sings Dylan, the 1966 Royal Albert Hall Concert. And I wouldn't even really say that I'm a Dylan fan. I mean, I don't dislike his music. I certainly appreciate him as an artist. But I'm no Dylanophile. I don't really know the history of all this stuff. I think it's like apparently it's a famous concert that was bootlegged and spread around for many, many years and finally released later. But I think this is one of those performances where he played acoustic and then halfway through he sort of picked up his electric guitar and the band joined him, and there was, you know, people were booing him, and I think that sort of, you know, became a sort of an infamous concert and I suppose a famous moment in his career where, you know, Dylan went electric. Anyway, Cat Power has sort of recreated this concert, and she performed and recorded this concert about a year ago and put out this as an album. And I mean, I love Cat Power. We've seen her many times, and I think at least one of her albums has been on my top 10 before. But I suppose not talking about Bob Dylan, it's sort of like the fact that, you know, these are obviously really famous songs, but there's some moments when it's sort of like you could almost imagine that this is a Cat Power song. I suppose she hasn't sort of like recreated it in a very different way, but just the way that she sings it is sort of like, oh yeah, I could totally just imagine this as a Cat Power song. And I just feel like that's a kind of a bit of a special thing and something that shouldn't be really overlooked. And I just think it's a great album. And let's see, it's kind of probably the track that always sort of jumps out to me is, again, one of these things that like, oh, this could be her own song. So from the album Cat Power Sings Dylan, this is It's All Over Now, Baby Blue.
You must leave now, take what you need, you think we'll last. Whatever you wish to keep, you better grab it fast. Yonder stands your orphan with his gun, crying like a fire in the sun. Coming through, and it's all over now,
baby blue. The highway is for gamblers, better use your sense. Take what you have gathered from coincidence. The empty handed painter from your streets is drawing crazy patterns on your sheets. The sky too is fully under you.
That's Cat Power. Sean Marshall is her name. And every time we talk about Cat Power, I always say that I think she's from Melbourne. And then I get corrected and like, well, no, wait a minute. No, she's from Atlanta, Georgia. But she just seems like she's so appropriate for Australia for some reason, right? I think you told me one time she's toured there so many times. She's so popular there. She's probably much more popular there than she is in the United States, you know?
Maybe she's one of those artists who's a bit like that. Yeah, and she has been touring here since the 90s, and she recorded one of her early albums here in Melbourne with some Melbourne musicians. So, yeah, I guess has a bit of a relationship with Melbourne. But, it's a great album, and I guess we keep it pretty mellow in our household in terms of the music that we play. So this has been a bit of a favorite and, yeah, made my number one for that reason. So thanks, Cat Power.
Excellent. That's great. I think I read about it briefly, but now you've brought it to my attention. I love it.
Such a great album. Gosh, I think like you, I was like, I'm not a huge Dylan fan. Like, I appreciate his music, but almost more the covers. Like, a lot of, like, I was really into seeing like Jerry Garcia and his band, you know, the guitarist for Grateful Dead, and he just, like, a third of his shows would be like Dylan covers, basically, or the band, you know, and did Dylan covers. And then, but when she did this, it was really amazing. Yeah, it's such a great album. That would be so fun to see. I've never seen her live either. So, but yeah, thanks for bringing that to the forefront. It was such a good one.
Isn't it kind of funny that, like, as a group, we're not really Dylan fans, but he was kind of the original talk singer almost, right? We should love Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of half That's talk, a good half song, sing, right? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So, all right. Oh, awesome. Thank you, Nicholas. That is great. Jeremiah, what's the absolute greatest album of 2023?
Oh, goodness. It's like, this was like kind of a hard one, but still, it just kind of bubbled up to the top. I don't know, the this year's Wednesday album, Rat Saw God, just kind of goes from, crazy grungy, like heavy reverb to almost like country tunes. And my dad's from the South, and it kind of just is like, it's just all like kind of just day-to-day stuff kind of in the South of like what they're kind of like dealing with and just daily life kind of, as I guess, as like young people, but also just like, you know, that's what they kind of talk about, is really just like, you know, what they're seeing day to day, you know, Carly Hartzman was, you know, and she's describing and writing the different songs about, like, you know, just what she was like experiencing when she was like writing this album, basically. They have an amazing band. I mean, MJ Liederman's the guitarist. And so, yes, I really just, I would love to see them live. I've never seen them live, and I really like their last album as well. So this bubbled up to the top, and I picked track 5, Chosen to Deserve.
just so you know what you signed up for, what you're dealing with. Just so you know what you've been chosen to deserve. I'm the girl.
That's Wednesday, Rat Saw God. Jeremiah's number one. Wasn't my number one, but you know what? It was my number two. So I love it. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yep. Okay. Now I need to go back and listen to everyone's list.
Yeah, I love it.
I always think like it almost is like if My Bloody Valentine like was from like Nashville or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And wasn't there something
crazy mix?
I just felt like, after I listened to it a few times, I was just like, this is major, right? It's like a major accomplishment. It's like a step above most of the other, if you have to rank things. Not that we believe in ranking things, but we do because it's fun, right? But great.
Yeah, it's definitely more like almost like crunchy, more country than I kind of sometimes like, but it's like, wow, it's
right.
So good. They pull it off so well.
You must have been
very good.
You must have been watching some Montreal band or something in Austin when David and I were watching Wednesday in not this year but 2022.
I know. I somehow missed them. I never saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved their last album, but then I somehow missed them playing. So, and then
yeah.
I mean, MJ Liederman's live album almost got on the top 10 too. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
David was.
But it's like a live album. So
David was
like,
talking about that album. He said it was part comedy album.
Good.
Was there like jokes in between the songs or something? He said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What
I haven't listened to it.
I'd love to see him live.
Like. All right. Oh, that's just great. Okay. You guys, this is incredible. It's great. You know, we don't even have to talk about the greater than $0 anymore because it's so far above. It's so far above. It's just crazy. It's been fun.
At least like three or four shekels. At least.
You know, if it's zero, you know, the translation, you know, the conversion is still zero, which is nice. You don't have to make the conversion to different denominations.
It's true. Yes. You don't have to like Google that.
So, well, thank you to both of you guys for the great contributions for the year and the past years. And it's been really good. And I always say this, every year is good, right? If you decide to pay attention, like Chris was saying this, he has friends that say to him, how come there's no good guitar music anymore? And he's like, if you think that, then you're not looking for it. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, every year is a great year for music and it's never going to stop. At least, you know, in my lifetime, it's not going to stop. So that's, I love it.
Yeah,
it's just
different. Yeah. I mean, some years kind of grab you more than others, but yeah, it's when you kind of dig into it, and that's what's fun about the podcast. It's really just like, it's like a, you know, inspiration to kind of keep digging into stuff and appreciating older things as well, but then looking at new things. And so, yeah, thank you so much for a podcast and for the listeners and just to keeping us all moving forward. So appreciate that.
And Nicholas, you should thank your family for us, for allowing us to break up your picnic.
I know. Wow.
Tell them you've achieved podcasting stardom. And
no problem. Well, as I was walking home with Fox, who's now one of our sons, who's almost 11, he was like saying to me, "Oh, where do people listen to the podcast?" And I was like, "Well, you know, it's on the internet and it's like on Apple Podcasts and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And I was like, and he was saying, oh, you know, like, I was like, well, you know, people listen all over the world, and we get emails from people in all sorts of countries. And he's like, oh, like, how many people listen? And I said, oh, well, you know, some podcasts, they've got like millions of people that listen to the podcast, but, you know, we've probably got like, you know, we've probably got like a couple of hundred people that listen every week. And he's like, oh, wow, 200 people. That's a lot. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It is.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Fox is the man. He knows.
It's fun to sometimes just, you know, you get these little glimpses of the world through a kid, you know, from a kid's perspective, and it's kind of refreshing in that way. And I'm not sure if our numbers have gone up, Will, or if, you know, if you want to bleep that out so that people don't know
how
big or small we are. But
I've paid less attention, to be honest, and they changed the way that they keep the stats, and so it's like it's gone down, but I think it's gone down because of how they calculate the number of listeners. I don't think we have fewer listeners, but we're not like going viral either. We just have a steady, stable, devoted number of listeners, and it's awesome. It's our aging rockers, you know. And like I said earlier, I'm just so happy that we have so many people that contributed their top 10 lists. So if there's that many people that actually are writing into us, you know, there are always more people that are just listening and not contributing. They just listen, and that's cool too.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Totally awesome. Okay, well, thanks, you guys. Stay in touch. Keep start your 2024 lists next week, okay? So you can just, like, start. Well, there won't be any music yet next week.
But, homework.
Man, I have so many things, catch-up things, so it won't be a problem. And I think in roughly late January, this stuff starts coming out again. So we will not run out. So, all right.
Definitely, yes.
Thank you again. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Jeremiah. See you guys, and good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.